Greetings. Greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. That's right, it's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, but we will tell you who was the real shooter or shooters behind the Donald Trump assassination attempt. That was my hook. Did you get that? He said to his extremely attractive audio engineer. That's my hook to keep so the algorithms say that if you don't hook people with Trump assassination news immediately, they'll turn the dial trying to find the real killer. And so we're going to reveal who the real shooter was, the real shooter and or shooters, and we'll do that very soon after we cover some other news related to the Donald Trump assassination attempt. But first, we do want to mention that Sheila Jackson Lee, longtime Democrat senator from the state of Texas, went to hell on Friday. Yes, she was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer in June. Here it is, almost the end of July, she's dead. You know, like it happens all the time like that. I had a family member who died of pancreatic cancer, and it was about a three-year battle. But Sheila, about a month and a half. You know, like it goes. That happens that way, especially when you're among the ruling class and you can afford all the best doctors in the world, like Sheila Jackson Lee could and did, unless she was a true believer in her government welfare and she took welfare medical care. Kind of doubt that. There won't be an investigation into anything like that. So don't worry about finding out more about that. The one thing we know is she's dead. Jeff Childers over at Coffee and COVID on Substack called ahead to hell to let them know that she was fully vaxxed before she arrived. And by the way, so for all of you, this is strong evidence against the allegation I've heard from some of you people at the height of the COVID hysteria and the vaccine mandates. Some of you told me that, well, you know, the ruling elite, they're not actually getting the vaccine because they know it's a kill shot designed to inject the mark of the beast and graphene and transmitters and receivers. They know what it's all about. They're not getting the shot. Well, Sheila Jackson Lee's sudden, tragic, untimely passing is evidence against that. She was fully vaxxed. Not only was she fully vaxxed, she wanted everyone else vaxxed. She was like a vaccine machine. So those of you who assume that the ruling class are anything other than just as frightened and superstitious and gullible as the people they lord it over, you're giving them way too much credit. They're not that bright. They're not that sophisticated. They're in politics, for crying out loud. They work for the government. By definition, they're two or three rungs down the ladder when it comes to competence, intelligence, ambition, drive, all of that. Don't give them so much credit. They're barely competent enough to damage the country slowly and take as much advantage as they can over the bad outcomes that they produce. And they're trying to destroy the country immediately, but they're just so incompetent, that's about all they can pull off. All right, so now, I don't want to leave you hanging anymore. Don't change the channel. I have news on the Donald Trump assassination escape from the Federalist. This is from our Weak Religion file. The Federalist reports, and I didn't write the author's name down because I don't want to embarrass him. It's already bad enough. But the Federalist reports Donald Trump's assassination attempt, assassination escape is direct and clear evidence there is a God and he divinely intervenes in human affairs. So that's the opening statement. Then the next statement the author makes is the U.S. Secret Service is not a very elite security detail. So that I agree with. The first statement that Trump surviving is proof there's a God. Well, I'll just leave that aside. Probably don't even want to repeat that again for the sake of the author. He'd be embarrassed on Judgment Day when God brings this one up. Anyway, the Federalist author goes on, Trump's security detail did not secure him. Someone else did. The person who saved Trump's life and our nation from dangerous social unrest is Jesus Christ. It is not random that wind gusts were present in just the right amount. It is not accidental that Trump turned his head at precisely the right second to avoid sudden death. It's not random, he says. And so I've seen a video. There's a video going around. I don't know if it's still going around. There's all kinds of videos going around. Claiming that Trump jerked his head slightly just before the shot was fired. And they slow the video down and they show it. They're like, look, 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 he jerks. And then you hear the gun. Anyway, so anyone who's seen that video, just so you know, bullets travel faster than the speed of sound. The reason Trump jerked his head because he had his ear almost shot off. He was hit in the ear with a bullet. That's why he jerked his head. Then you heard the bullet because physics, all right? It's not that God magically gave Trump's head a little tweak, gave him a little bobblehead tweak. That's not what it was. So now the Federalist who is crediting Jesus Christ with saving Donald Trump's life and preventing civil unrest, he goes on to quote Whitaker Chambers, and this is really good. I like this. This makes me glad I pulled the article down. The author says, to phrase it as Whitaker Chambers did in explaining his conversion from atheism to Christianity. Oh, now, I want to stop right here. Is the author of this article implying that Donald Trump surviving converted him to Christianity? Is that what he's saying? I first read it and I thought maybe he's encouraging atheists out there who need some evidence to, hey, look, Trump survived. You should believe in Jesus. But now he's going to quote Whitaker Chambers. And anyway, let's just go on with the Whitaker Chambers quote because it's actually good. Whitaker Chambers said, he began watching his toddler eating. And he said, quote, my eye came to rest on the intricate convolutions of her ear, those intricate, perfect ears. The thought passed through my mind, no, those ears were not created by any chance coming together of atoms in nature. They could have been created only by immense design. I did not know that at that moment, the finger of God was first laid on my forehead. Unquote. That's pretty good. Whitaker Chambers looked at his toddler's ear and realized there must be a God. That's a testament to the book of Romans that says, you know, God has revealed himself to everyone. He's clearly seen evidence by the things that are made. Whitaker Chambers saw it. And so that's worth downloading the article despite the rest of the painful. So listen to what the author at The Federalist goes on. He says, the finger of God was laid on Trump's forehead on Saturday. Listen to this. The chances of everything occurring as it did by random chance are impossibly improbable. The only person who saved Trump was Jesus Christ, the God of the universe in human flesh. So it seems by the end of the article, the author is converted to some degree. And I just want to remind the author, he's obviously new to Christianity, so he can be forgiven his ignorance. Jesus Christ was in human flesh. He's no longer in human flesh. He is now glorified in his eternal glorified body, which, by the way, he is not using to intervene in American election politics or assassination attempts or physically to save anyone. Jesus Christ is not all that concerned. In fact, I would say he's not concerned at all with saving anyone physically today. He's concerned with saving your eternal soul from damnation. And, but you being new to the faith, Mr. Federalist author, I'm willing to give you some grace on that.
But he's right. He said it, only Jesus can save him.
Right? Well, he's right about that. Only Jesus can save him. Mm-hmm. That's right. Only, well, he says the only person who saved Donald Trump in the past tense.
Okay, that's
he
nice.
Should say the only person who can save Donald Trump is Jesus Christ. Now, Donald Trump did come out with his first public statement after he was shot. Uh-huh. And he said, in many ways, it changes your attitude, your viewpoint on life. And I think, honestly, I think you appreciate God even more.
Yeah, like he ever.
He appreciates God even more. You know, having saved him and all. All right. So it's sad that people don't understand what it means to be saved by God. They think it's being shot in the ear. That's not what it means. It's not surviving a shooting. That's not what it means to be saved. But the Republican Party and everyone associated with it is dangling so close to the rim of hell right now, it wouldn't surprise me that none of them understand what it means to be saved by Jesus Christ. Listen to this. NBC News reports that at the, at a breakfast associated with the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. It's called the Fake and Fairly Dumb Coalition. It's run by a guy named Ralph Reed, and they have a breakfast called the Profaning God and Country Breakfast. They have that at the Republican National Committee as they pull the party ever closer and closer to the rim of hell. Ralph Reed having his teeth in the chain, pulling the Republican Party toward the depths of hell. And so Vice President nominee J.D. Vance spoke at the Fake and Fairly Dumb Coalition Profaning God and Country Breakfast there, where he quoted at the end of his remarks, he quoted from Quentin Tarantino's movie Pulp Fiction.
Okay, there you go.
Uh-huh. And now the folks at NBC News reporting this article, they say, well, isn't he worried about offending Christians by quoting from such a, they called it a violent and profane film. Uh-huh. And so the folks at NBC News recognize that this should offend Christians. But apparently Christians are beyond offense at this point. Anything that has to do with winning the election in 2024, which, by the way, I've been told, it's the most important election of my lifetime.
Again?
It's the most important election of everyone's lifetime, cumulatively since the beginning of time. And so if they could quote from Pulp Fiction, if they're profane, whatever it takes to defeat the Democrats, it's most... So why would J.D. Vance, who is, by the way, I do want to point out, J.D. Vance's selection proves that Donald Trump knows he didn't need a Christian on the ticket. That's the one thing it proves. He was considering Ben Carson because Ben Carson is a self-professed Christian who will say the name of Jesus Christ in public without having to be prompted. He'll actually say that. And remember, last time Donald Trump ran, everyone knew that he was a relatively dim-witted, vulgar, left-wing Democrat. And so he had to pick a fake Christian, Mike Pence, because he needed to appeal and bamboozle the Christians, which he did. Now they're so bamboozled that he has no need to even put a Christian on the ticket. He picks J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance is purely, he is a morally featureless politician. He's never taken a stand on any moral issue, nor shall he because he doesn't have to. He talks about the money. Hey, he's going to get you back your money. He's going to lower taxes. He's going to improve prosperity and productivity. He's going to cut welfare. He's going to make America great again. And so, and J.D. Vance, by the way, also is a relatively shallow child of the pop culture. Hence, he quotes from Pulp Fiction at the end of his speech. Why? To appeal to his base, who communicate with one another mostly in movie quotes. That's how they communicate with each other. And these are the conservatives. The Weekly Worldview. And I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Thanks for sticking with us through the first segment. We now want to cover the biblical applications, not applications, the biblical references that have been made. Now, Donald Trump was shot at 6:11. And so immediately, biblical scholars around the world began scanning the scriptures to find out what it means. What's the code? Because, you know, that's how the Bible works. You pick a number and you just... So, of course, the immediate press release from the most reputable biblical scholars in the world, all had, Republicans anyway, all had reference to Ephesians 6:11. Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God, that thy may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The whole armor, huh? Shot, survived. Get it? Get it? It's biblical. That, it proves it was Jesus. But then they stop, of course, and they don't go on to Ephesians 6:12, which was the next minute. When that was when the three chicks from the Secret Service all huddled around him and tried to protect his waist and rushed him to the waiting. That was 6:12. Anyway, Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Well, let's not bring that one up. Yeah. All right. Just last night, because I'm this way, I opened the Bible and I randomly selected a 6:11. Not quite randomly. I figured I would start in Proverbs and go to Ecclesiastes, go to Isaiah, just because I don't know. Or maybe I went the other way. Yeah, here it is. Proverbs 6:11. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. Wow, my mind is blown. Let's see. From there, I went to Ecclesiastes 6:11. Seeing there be many things that increase vanity, what is man the better? Oh, that one's not so friendly. Let's not count that one. Let's go on to Isaiah. Isaiah is always good for solid prophetic Isaiah 6:11. Then said I, the Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without a man, and the land be utterly desolate. Okay, Isaiah's not being so good to us. Let's just stop right there. All right, so there we have all of that. And then at the Republican National Convention, which I didn't watch because I no longer have TV, which I highly recommend to everyone, I was a little nervous at first because I don't know why. It's just a habit, you know? It's like trying to stop smoking.
It was easier.
Yeah, it was easier. It's like trying to start flossing. It's difficult, but once you get in there, I didn't watch the RNC, but I have seen reports online. It seems to me, and I could be wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong. Only Franklin Graham and the black guy from Detroit, Pastor Sewell, they were the only ones allowed to mention Jesus Christ by name. Because, you know, they're preachers, so they were allowed. Everyone else, verboten. Nobody mentioned Jesus. Even Tim Scott, who gave one of the most theologically, doctrinally embarrassing speeches in the history of such things, where he basically said, God obviously saved Donald Trump for such a time as this and tonight, and the lion roared and all this stuff. He was not allowed to refer to Jesus Christ by name, but he did make the requisite reference to God saving Donald Trump, I don't know, like 6 times in the speech. And to, who knows, maybe Tim Scott struck the name of Jesus Christ voluntarily, you know, in the spirit of the Republican big tent and all that. Maybe he knew that they were going to have the Satanist. Oh, no, she's not a Satanist. I don't know what she is. But they had a woman who had the Mark of the Beast tattooed on her forehead speaking from the dais at the RNC. This is a woman I've heard. She basically slept her way to the top of the hip-hop industry and has done videos. She's promoting abortion and how Satanists help women get abortions, and that's why they're good. And she has a tattoo across her forehead that says Belzebub or something like that. And she was on the stage.
What? You're not joking? Oh,
I'm not joking.
Oh.
No. And then they had a Harmeet Dillon. Harmeet Dillon got up and said a pagan prayer to the one true God and mentioned some other God.
Wow.
She didn't mention Jesus either. Mm. And the Republicans all clapped. Mm-hmm. It's like, what's going on? Anyway, this is welcome to full-blown post-Christian America. Hang on. Things are going to get rough, okay? All right. Yeah. Quotes from Pulp Fiction will be the least of our problems in short order.
Wow.
Although it is pretty disgusting to have someone quoting Quentin Tarantino, who I remember at the time, I remember seeing that movie and thinking, I can't believe they could make this and release this. This should be against the law to make this.
You know,
I was no saint at the time.
Yeah.
But it was shocking.
Anyway.
That's like 30 years ago now. Anyway, that's fair. All right. Now, more news. More news about the Donald Trump assassination attempt. Don't change that dial. Stick with us, folks. The FBI is warning about the potential for violent follow-on and retaliatory attacks in response to the shooting of Donald Trump and the murder of the fireman, Compertore. FBI and Homeland Security released a joint intelligence bulletin, which means they probably smoked a joint before they wrote it. And they said individuals have threatened violence in response to the attempted assassination. And so I don't even know what that means. What does that mean? Well, you know, we have to say something. We're bureaucrats and people are expecting to hear from us because it makes them feel better. It calms everything down. And so they smoked a joint and they released a statement that says nothing. But there's lots of verbs, adjectives. There's a few nouns, bunch of syllables. So they got the job done over there at Homeland Security. By the way, Homeland Security was responsible for security at the Butler Farm Fairgrounds there. We have more from the HHS and the FBI in their joint statement. Election-related targets are under a heightened threat, they wrote 2 days after the shooting, which right on time for bureaucrats. Let's see. CNN reports that officials have been on edge since Saturday. The new intelligence bulletin does not identify a specific or credible threat. Huh, interesting. Kind of like they didn't recognize a guy climbing up on the roof with an AR-15. They didn't recognize that one either. It's one thing you can say about the FBI and HHS, they are consistent in their lack of recognition of a specific or credible threat. But they say, now listen, this is the takeaway. We cannot rule out, says the FBI, DHS, a joint intelligence bulletin. That statement has no meaning. A joint intelligence bulletin. What's a bulletin? It's something you put up on the bulletin board that people can either look at or not, and it's not really going to affect your day. It's a bulletin. Okay. Anyway, they say we cannot rule out follow-on acts of violence. Why? Well, after all, Donald Trump was impeached twice. Keep that in mind. All of you gloating and selling a t-shirt that says, hey, you missed and all this, and Jesus saved Donald Trump. You might want to just calm down with the gloating, okay? Because they did impeach him twice. So they're very dedicated. And by the way, I've made the prediction on this show, and I stand by it. There is no way Donald Trump will be allowed to be the president of the United States. It will not be allowed to happen. I said 2 years ago, they will indict him. They will put him on trial. They will perp walk him. If possible, they will throw him in jail. They will convict him. And if none of that works, they will kill him. He will not be allowed to be the president. I stand by that prediction because I just know how evil and diabolical the other side is. And there's enough vitriol that has been pumped into the electorate over the past 5 years that all they have to do is let their guard down. And they've already built in the fanatical hatred of Donald Trump as Hitler, that there'll be people like this kid. And I know I'm being gullible to think that it was just this kid shooting. And I just heard audio of the shots. And I mean, I'm not exactly a gun expert. I know my way around guns. But there was definitely three different guns fired. You can't question that. The audio signatures. Now, what does that mean? I don't know what that means. I think it could mean that the kid shot, and then the incompetent buffoons who were in charge of security had to fire like 9 shots in order to kill the kid. I think that's possible. But there were definitely three different sets of shots from 3 different distances. It's very hard to hide things like that these days. Everybody's got a camera and a microphone everywhere. So anyway, but I know I'm being gullible to think that there wasn't a second shooter hiding behind the grassy knoll and all of that. And I could be, but I give the benefit of the doubt. And if it turns out I'm wrong, I'll admit I was wrong. I will have lost nothing by assuming that it was the one deranged product of the public school, a product of the pop culture, a product of SSRI drugs, marijuana, and pornography. That's what this, and left-wing indoctrination. That's what this kid was. And whether he was the patsy that they used or he was the actual, he was available. And there are plenty of them out there. All right, now, we're going to move on to news from the Donald Trump assassination attempt. Don't touch that dial. On one day, Sunday, over the 4th of July weekend, the Transportation Security Agency humiliated 3,013,413 people in one day. I'm sorry, did I say humiliated? I meant screened. They screened 3,013,413 people in one day, the highest number of people ever humiliated by the TSA in one day ever. And we have a statement here from the Department of Homeland Security Chief Alejandro Mayorkas.
Of course.
Yeah, and this may be his last statement before he's arrested, we hope. But he said it wasn't a... Now, he's not a... He doesn't have an accent, does he? Mayorkas, what is that?
He's American.
He's just an American leftist. White, guilty. He says it was an extraordinary achievement. TSA fully, unerringly, and efficiently humiliated 35 passengers every second, along with all their luggage and every carry-on bag, while demonstrating unwavering professionalism and respect. This was the weekend before his agency got Trump shot. Okay? That kid, he was not inerrantly screened. And if there are any other shooters involved, they were not inerrantly screened by HHS either. View. And I'm your host, Doug McBurney. We have more news from the attempted assassination of President Donald Trump. This story comes to us from Eric Peters Autos. Eric Peters Autos, which I've probably done 10 stories from this guy over the last 10 years. He's a car dealer. And the guy is just very smart. Anyway, this article is called The Mafia Strikes Back. That's right, The Mafia Strikes Back. Now, I happen to know someone from Delaware, and that person told me that Delaware is run by the Mafia. It's been run by the Mafia since the entire 20th century. The Mafia took over Delaware. Where's Joe Biden from? Delaware. Who killed John Kennedy? The Mafia. Okay, you put the dots together. I don't know. Eric Peters says some mafioso, they don't hide the nature of their work. They don't hide the nature of themselves. Guys like Don Corleone, they know what they do. But the insurance mafia, they're less self-aware. That's right. They like to think of themselves as just another business providing a needed service. We're not mulking money from you under duress or anything like that. No, that's... And Eric Peters goes on, that makes it worse than the mafia. Don Corleone was more honest than Flo on the Progressive commercials. That's right. He goes on to report on how the insurance mafia uses the government rather than Luca Brasi to mulk drivers for coverage. Mulked. Are you familiar with that term? He said to his extremely attractive.
I don't know, but I
kind of
get it.
Uh-huh. I guarantee you, Joe Biden and his brother Jimmy and his son Hunter, they're familiar with the term mulked. M-U-L-C-T. It basically means to threaten someone and take their money. Yeah. So the insurance mafia, they use the government to mulk us out of our money. Now, in the state of Virginia, a driver could pay the state a $500 uninsured motorist fee instead of buying insurance. And for many drivers, paying the $500 to the state each year was better than paying the mafia two or three times as much for actual insurance. But there was a fly in the ointment. This meant that the insurance mafia was being paid less. And the uninsured motorist fee provided a kind of competition against the insurance mafia. And that's the last thing the mafia wants. We don't like competition. No, no, no. So the uninsured motorist fee, you see, it enabled people to pay less. And it effectively forced the insurance mafia to charge everyone less. Because its customers, in quotation marks, customers, they were aware that they could pay the state less. And so it created a control on the insurance mafia. And the mafia didn't appreciate that. And by the way, the uninsured motorist fee did not provide any actual coverage. And so that's what the insurance mafia used to lobby for the end of the uninsured motorist fee. They said, well, it doesn't provide coverage. People are uncovered. That's terrible. People could be hurt. People could be injured. There's no coverage. You have to be covered. If you're not covered, be scared. It's terrifying to have no coverage. How can you go on without coverage? Do you understand that this fee is causing your constituents to go without coverage? It's unconscionable. You're supposed to be taking care of them. You're their congressman. You're their senator. They rely on you for safety. And so they initiated a lobbying firm, and they paid off senators and congressmen and took compromising videos or whatever they did. And the mafia used all of that to do to the uninsured motorist fee in Virginia what was done to Luca Brasi. As of July 2024, the uninsured motorist fee sleeps with the fishes. Drivers in Virginia can no longer have the option to pay the fee. Now they must pay the mafia. But the good news is, don't worry about it. At least you're covered. Nothing bad can happen to you now. You're covered. Don't worry about it. Because we'd hate to see something bad happen. All right. Now, the next story. The next story is related to the assassination attempt on Donald Trump that happened on July 13th, which will forever be known as J13. We have Keith Edmund Gavin. Keith Edmund Gavin, 64 years old, received a lethal injection on Friday. He received a lethal injection. Why? He was... Okay, who wrote this? This is... this is from the Associated Press. He was convicted of capital murder in the shooting of William Clayton Jr. Now, why wouldn't you say that he was convicted of murdering William Clayton Jr.? Why would you say, if you were a writer and you were trying to write, why would you say he was convicted in the shooting death of?
Just too much.
Why all the extra words? He was convicted of murder. In fact, he was convicted of capital murder, which is an extra word that I don't even need that. If you murder somebody, you should be put to death. It doesn't matter what kind of murder or what style. But that's the Associated Press, obviously the product of our fine urinalism academies. William Clayton Jr. had driven to an ATM the evening of March 6th, 1998. He had just finished work. He was getting money to take his wife to dinner. Gavin shot Clayton during a robbery, pushed him into the passenger seat, and drove off and shot at police before fleeing on foot into the woods before he was finally captured. Gavin, the killer, who was executed last Friday, at the time of the murder in 1998, he was on parole after serving time for murder. So, he was serving time for murder. That right there should shock and outrage people. You should not serve time for murder. If you're convicted of murder, you should maximum 72 hours. And then you should be executed publicly and painfully. But this guy was executed. A jury convicted Gavin of capital murder and voted 10-2. To recommend a death sentence. And then the AP reporter goes on to say, most states now require a jury to be unanimous to impose death because the urinalist has been trained to sow doubt about anything that's true and anything that's just. And so they remind the reader that, oh, two people voted against his death sentence. And now we don't do that anymore. Just so you're unsure that anything is true or anything is just. We want to keep you as confused as possible about as much as possible and use as many words and syllables as possible to do that. Scary stuff reading the news. It can lower your IQ and it can damage you spiritually, psychologically, reading the news. It's dangerous. Be careful. All right. More news related to the assassination attempt of President Donald Trump. Urban metal theft has risen to new levels following the pandemic, says Breitbart. Following the pandemic? What does that mean? Why would you put that in? The pandemic was 4 years ago. People are stripping the copper out of Tesla charging stations. They're stripping the copper out of the lights, the street lights in Los Angeles. How this relates to the pandemic, I have no clue, but the idiot author at Breitbart says metal theft has risen following the pandemic. Thousands of feet of wiring from streetlights, hundreds of fire hydrants, and even mausoleum nameplates are being stolen to flip for small amounts of money. Why? Because people are drug addicts allowed to wander in the streets like zombies and steal anything in sight to buy drugs. That's why. City's lights frequently go dark after being stripped of their copper. Well, lights don't frequently go dark after being stripped of their copper. They go dark every time. Ask the people in the neighborhoods in Los Angeles who are terrified to leave their house because it's pitch black, because the druggies stole all the copper wire. In St. Paul, Minnesota, a man was recently hit by a car, killed while crossing the street, a pitch black street where all the street lights had gone out. They didn't had gone out. They were put out by thieves. And the neighborhood, people in the neighborhood had reported to the city of St. Paul for months. They were like, "Could you fix our streetlights?" The people in the city of St. Paul is like, "We don't have the money." Why? Well, we've been giving it to all the drug addicts.
That's true.
It's just it's a vicious cycle. The Los Angeles County Fire Department says they are aware and concerned about the theft of fire hydrants affecting multiple jurisdictions. And God bless the fire department. What can they do about it? They don't make fire hydrants. Of course they're concerned. They're going to end up showing up at a fire. There's no hydrant. What do you do? Break out the marshmallows and the hot dogs. I don't know. It's bizarro. Welcome to post-Christian America. Anyway, this has a lot less to do with the pandemic than it does with the drug epidemic. Maybe that's what the Breitbart urinalist meant to reference the drug epidemic, but his autocorrect grabbed pandemic because he's grabbed it so many times over the past 5 years. So it came up first in the list. All right, now, more news related directly or tangentially to the assassination attempt on President Trump. The Kentucky mass murderer who was in the news lately, do you guys remember? The Saturday over the 4th of July weekend, you remember the mass murder in Kentucky? No, you pretty much don't. You're like, well, which one? Who? Kentucky? There was a mass murder? There's so many, it's hard to keep track. And since it happened in rural Florence, Kentucky, it barely makes the news anywhere. And when it does make the news, it's embarrassing. Saturday over the 4th of July weekend, a shooting incident resulted in the deaths of at least 4 individuals. Yeah, maybe. Does AI like more syllables? It's like, how many extra syllables and words can you insert into one sentence for crying out loud? Saturday over the 4th of July weekend, a killer murdered 4 people. I just said it with like 6 words. So, listen to this. Resulted in the deaths of at least 4 individuals, including the suspect. According to reports from the police. And it's according to reports because it's the police, and we know that we don't want you sure you can trust the police because we're urinalists. We're trained to be the authors of confusion. Anyway, the urinalist right now in such a lawyerly style as to elicit as little emotion as possible while using as many syllables as possible and as many words as possible to elicit as much confusion as possible. Bang, bang! It's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. We have more news from the assassination attempt on President Donald Trump. Back to the story of the Kentucky mass murder. There were a number of people shot. 3 people were killed, and then the killer apparently killed himself, or maybe he was killed by police. But listen to this. According to RVMnews.com, which is a local newspaper there, the man who committed the shooting was a convicted child rapist. Now, the editor who looked at this is like, okay, well, the man who committed the shooting, that's fine, but a convicted child rapist, isn't there a better way we could say this? How about a man convicted of inappropriate behavior toward a minor in a position of trust? So the journalist had a little check against her for writing child rapist. That's a little too strong. The bottom line is this guy was convicted of raping a child and he was out on parole and he murdered 3 people. The Florence Police Department has assured the public that there is no ongoing threat to safety. Really? That's hard to believe when we just read that rapists are being allowed to roam the streets. Mm-hmm. Murder people. I think there is an ongoing threat to safety, and I wish more police would stand up and say it. I wish the police I wish there was one policeman with testicles left who would stand up in front of the cameras and say, no, there is a threat. This is insanity. One sheriff. We need one sheriff to stand up, to galvanize the country. Well, maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe there's nobody to be galvanized. I mean, none of the rednecks at the... So the kid who shot at Donald Trump, he was outside the perimeter. So you didn't have to go through the metal detectors that Mayorkas set up there? Yeah, Mayorkas does believe in a border of some sorts. He sets up the magnetometers there outside of the Jill Biden rally. And then, you know, the magnetometers out at the Trump, they might have worked or might have not, but the kid saw him and he backed off, and that's when they reported him as a person of interest because he obviously avoided going through the metal detector. That was like sign number one an hour before he shot Trump, which, anyway, if it is just incompetence, it's the most embarrassing string of incompetent events in the history of such things. There's never been a more incompetent series of incompetencies. It's just never happened that way. But where was I? I forget where I was going with that, with the magnetometers, and I was talking about... the rednecks. So, they were outside the perimeter. None of them had to go through a metal detector where they were. And none of them had a gun. They watched the kid climbing up on with an AR-15 and their heroes up on the stage. And not one redneck can even threaten the kid. So maybe there aren't any rednecks anymore to be motivated to save the country from... 1,000 years of darkness. There just aren't. There's not enough testosterone left. There's not enough strong, independent women left. There's nothing left. We're running on fumes. So it's a pipe dream for me to wish that one sheriff could stand up and galvanize the nation behind putting an end to the epidemic of violent, atrocious crime occurring every day that should shock all of us to our core. But you can only be shocked so much, and I think we're all numb to it, and I don't know that anything beyond some sort of truly catastrophic event could bring repentance. And so you know what that means. Eventually, that catastrophic event will occur. That's what that means. All right, now, more news from the assassination attempt of Donald J. Trump. This story comes to us from the Science... Really, file? Where a meteor soared over the Statue of Liberty before disintegrating about 30 miles above Manhattan. Yeah, this happened last Tuesday morning at about 11 o'clock in the morning. New Yorkers reported seeing a flash of fire streak across the sky and felt the ground shaking. Yeah, the meteor was moving at 34,000 miles per hour. There were no reports of damage or injuries. It harmlessly disintegrated in the atmosphere designed by God to protect us from such things. Thank God. God saved New York last Tuesday. As for the reported shaking that people felt, experts say... So right there, you take it with a grain of salt. Experts do not believe it had any ties to the meteor or any other natural event. Now, what would make an expert say that? When you got dozens of people who say, man, this meteor came over and I felt the ground shake. And then an expert says, well, you couldn't have felt the ground shake related to the meteor. an examination of seismic data in the area shows no evidence of an earthquake. And so what are you calling all these people stupid or hysterical because they felt the ground shake?
They're all on drugs.
Well, that's a possibility that they're all on drugs. That is a possibility. And there is a possibility that they were scared. And what you felt shaking was your knees were shaking maybe because that's scary when a giant fireball comes over the city and disintegrates. But anyway, listen to this. Past reports of shaking with no associated seismic signal have had atmospheric origins, such as sonic booms or weather-related phenomena, meaning it's not only earthquakes that can make the ground shake. And so either their knees were shaking, or this is further evidence that the crust of the earth is relatively unstable even after an alleged 4.5345 billion years. It's still shaky, which is kind of odd, because you would think things would have settled down sometime, even over the past 0.34545 billion years, things would have settled down. But apparently they have not. All right, more from the assassination attempt on Donald J. Trump. The Israel Defense Force has confirmed that an Iranian drone hit Tel Aviv, evading air defenses, killing one civilian and wounding eight. The IDF has determined that the drone was an upgraded Iranian drone fired by the Houthis in Yemen. Yeah, and by the way, I saw a video of a Houthi drone boat blowing up an oil tanker. It was impressive. I mean, it was quite the explosion. I can't believe the ship sailed away. So I warned you people back in January of 2021. I warned you that the installation of a puppet president by a bunch of criminally insane sex perverts would open us up to attack. And so here we are. Here we are. And there's like a sense that we're all waiting for the big one. Like, what's going to be the big ticket item we have to pay for this? It's not the assassination attempt. It's not the Houthis hitting Tel Aviv. It's not, although these are bad. These are, I mean, the fact that they flew an Iranian drone into Tel Aviv and killed people, I mean, that's big. They shot the president. That's big. But the big one hasn't come yet. The other shoe hasn't dropped yet. And when you do something as foolish as installing a dementia-addled former mafioso into the White House because you think you can just run things from the back office and DEI everything and queer everything up and trans everything and get high and have sex and just be maniacs, there's going to be a price to pay for all that. And it's bigger than anything we've seen, and my fear is it's going to come before the mafioso guy either dies or is removed from office or steps down or whatever he does. Because all of our enemies who are not on drugs and are not playing video games and are paying attention and want to take over the world and they want to kill us and take our stuff, all of them are watching right now thinking, man, there's really no better time to strike than now. Because nobody's in charge. Happy note there. Meanwhile, we have more news from the assassination attempt on Donald J. Trump. A suspected drug smuggling tunnel has been found in Tijuana. Yes. This is according to, where did I get the story? The LA Times, they say it's a suspected drug smuggling tunnel because obviously it could have been just for avocados. Or it's possible that they were shipping tortillas through the tunnel, but we suspect it might have been a drug smuggling tunnel. The interesting thing about this drug smuggling tunnel, this tunnel is so long that authorities haven't been able to find the exit point without oxygen tanks. They don't have enough oxygen. There's not enough oxygen available to get through the tunnel, which means whoever's been going through this tunnel is sophisticated enough to have oxygen, which, well, this is just an example of there are people who are not just sitting around getting high playing video games, who are paying attention, who are undermining our country. There are motivated people with ambitions against us coming through tunnels in Tijuana, and they're not bringing avocados or tortillas. And everyone's asleep at the wheel. And the government's asleep at the wheel and incompetent. And the people, the rednecks who are supposed to protect us, they're all getting high, watching sports, watching pornography, and half of them are probably on Ativan. The rednecks are probably on Ativan anymore. All right, more news on the front of the assassination attempt against Donald Trump. The new party platform at the RNC has been released during the big to-do there. It does not call for a national ban on all murder, explicitly. Now, they call it abortion, but, you know, then the Republicans have been giving lip service to a ban on abortion for about 40 years, and it's been a pretty effective political soft for them, but they don't need it anymore. They've got the Christians sufficiently bamboozled, and enough people have had abortions that we just have to go for their votes, and if they've had abortions, we don't want to offend them. So they took out the Human Life Amendment, but then in the same document, they assert, without any ironic intent, they say, no person can be denied of life or liberty without due process, and that the states are therefore free to pass laws protecting those rights. So I've been talking about seismic, catastrophic events sucking America down and pulling us over the rim of hell. This is one of them. The fact that the so-called conservative party just wrote that. Did you get that? Did you get that? The states are free to pass laws protecting what used to be inalienable rights. What used to be inalienable God-given rights that no government had the right to write any laws about. Now the Republicans say the states can write laws to protect those rights. So now the Republicans say the state is the guarantor of your rights, the source of and guarantor of your rights. We used to say that was God. But that's no. They're no longer inalienable. The Republicans will take them away. The Republicans will eventually put the Christians into concentration camps, just like the Democrats. It's just that you get a few more years out of the Republicans and a little more money on the way. We have a quote here from the chairman of the Fake and Fairly Dumb Coalition, Ralph Reed. I believe his full name is Ralph Hecubus Reed. He says this platform, referring to the one I just quoted from, Ralph Reed says this program continues making it clear that the unborn child has an inalienable right to life that cannot be infringed, that life is protected under the due process clause of the 14th Amendment, which, by the way, was Ronald Reagan's position. Says Ralph Reed, and nobody calls him out on it and say, well, wait a second, it actually says in there that they don't have an inalienable right. I mean, it does mention the 14th Amendment, but I mean, it used to be God, Ralph. I thought you were a Christian. Weren't you a member of the Christian Coalition? Oh, it turns out they were a bunch of evil, lying Republicans. Oh, and you're a Hecubus from the pit of hell, dressed up as a Christian. Oh, I didn't realize, Ralph. So I didn't notice that 666 tattooed on your forehead there. But I see it clearly now. Thank you very much. So in the new Republican platform, there was nothing about faggots, creeps, perverts, child molesters, let alone anything about marriage, normal marriage between a man and a woman. Not a word, not a peep. Not a peep before they shot Trump. And now they're saying that this is, now obviously this is God's platform, since he obviously saved Trump after he endorsed the platform. Trump endorsed this platform a week before Jesus saved him from being killed, which means Jesus has endorsed the obviously Jesus has endorsed this new platform, and we can all get in line behind Ralph Reed, obviously, he said with some sarcasm. Uh-huh. Yeah, the Republican National Committee is so convinced that God is on their side that they're comfortable inviting an atheist baby killer promoter of Satanism with the Mark of the Beast tattooed on her forehead to speak. They're so sure God is on their side that they let Harmeet Dillon say a prayer to our one and only true God, and she uses the name of some other pagan god. The Republicans are pretty confident. You got to give them that. All right. Meanwhile, from the war file, the Taliban has arrested at least two, maybe three, American citizens hoping to swap them for prisoners out of Guantanamo Bay. Who would have thought? Well, actually, it's fairly predictable. When everyone's asleep at the wheel or high or on drugs or watching sports or downloading pornography, that the people who are actually paying attention, they're gonna make their moves. The Taliban kidnapped George Glaisman, Mahmoud Habibi, and Ryan Corbett. That's according to the State Department, who's barely paying attention. But they happen to know that these three guys, well, we can't find them. Now, Taliban spokesman Zabiullah Mujahid told reporters in Kabul, the topic of a prisoner release was discussed during a recent meeting with U.S. officials. Because U.S. officials, they now meet with the Taliban. Why? Because we are in control. We are the boss of them. Afghan conditions must be met in a prisoner swap. We have our citizens who are imprisoned in the U.S. in Guantanamo. We should free our prisoners in exchange for those prisoners. That's what we told them at the State Department. We smacked them on the side of their heads. Glaisman and Corbett were initially detained in 2022 after the fall of Kabul in the summer of 2021. And now, from the decline and fall file, I told you there's catastrophic. I told you there's a possibility of... This is not catastrophic, but this is what I would call the slow motion death of America. A relatively embarrassing and humiliating death, which death is, by the way. Death is the ultimate humiliation. It's the ultimate embarrassment. You lose control of your own bowels. And you're utterly humiliated, and you fall down on the ground and you can't even get up. Even as proud and as strong as you were, eventually you'll fall down and you will not be able to get back on your feet. Death is the ultimate humiliation. It's inflicted upon most of us very slowly. Texas Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee aside, most of us experience it slowly, and it's embarrassing. And it's happening to America right now. And the latest evidence is from Houston, Texas, where they had a hurricane. And it knocked out a lot of power and a lot of power lines. And so linemen, that's men who fix power lines, linemen from across the country have converged on Houston to volunteer to help restore the power. And you're like, God bless America. Well, many of them have had to flee because they've been attacked by criminals. And they've been threatened and robbed. And so they haven't been able to turn the power on because the criminals are chasing away the men who would repair the power lines. And people are asking the governing officials in Houston what's going on, and they say they're very concerned about it. But they've been busy giving money. All the money in the city has been given to the criminals. And they didn't have any left to fix the power lines, and then when someone came in to fix the power line, the criminals... It's a vicious cycle. CenterPoint Energy, which provides electricity in Houston, revealed that there have been multiple incidents of criminal behavior toward public utility properties and workers, even one drive-by shooting. So it's like Mad Max Bizarro World. Guys trying to turn the electricity on, and the criminals are shooting at them. And it's an embarrassing, slow-motion, very humiliating death by a thousand cuts that's being inflicted rightfully on a nation that's turned its back on God and bent the knee to the tyrants and the pagans and the heathens and the perverts and the creeps. And so that's what you get. And that's why we're here on the Weekly Worldview. We're here to remind you that there are still a few rednecks left who actually know who Jesus Christ is. We know how he's operating in the world today, and we want to help point you in that direction so that you can be saved. Not physically, that's not going to happen, but you can be saved eternally. And so we're happy to have you. We'll be back next time, Lord willing. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.